Can I afford to keep a pet? This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing in Campo, California, with Thought for Today. Can I afford to keep a pet? Everyone would like to have a cat, a kitten, a dog, a puppy. They'd like to have pets. Some people like to have pets like snakes, or they'd like to have pets like farm animals. They like to have pets of all natures and all kinds. But can I afford to keep a pet? Can I afford to give my time, the necessary time, to maintain the pet? Can I afford to give the time from my busy life of living my own world to take care of my pets? Do I take time to feed them, to make sure they always have water, make sure they always have care, make sure that they are penned in so that they cannot escape and run out in the wild and be unfamiliar with the world out there and hurt themselves? Or do I take my pets out into the wild? Do I take my pets out into the world of automobiles and motorcycles and buses and streetcars? And do I take my pet out into this world and let the pet become familiar with it and teach the pet that they must stay on the leash or they must stay close to my side or that they do not go into the street? Nothing can challenge them or cause them to run into the street because they could be hurt that way. Can I afford to have a pet? Many people have pets. They just like to have pets, and they have sometimes even more than one. And as they have these pets, they treat these pets like children, and yet they don't treat them like children. If they had children, hopefully, they would teach them how to read and write and speak correctly. They'd teach them how to live their life and how to have manners. They would teach them how to go anywhere they wanted to go and be acceptable. Do we teach our pets that? Do we teach our pets how to sit, how to come? Do we teach our pets how to clean the bowl? Do we teach our pets how to eat their meals properly? Do we teach our pets how to not eat things that we do not give them? Do we teach our pet all these little, simple little things? And unfortunately, the answer most of the time is that's not what we teach our pets. We just teach our pets that we want to love them and hug them and snuggle them and enjoy them. We want our pets always to be like little children, like little small pets. We want them to be puppies and kittens and little ones. We don't want them ever to grow up. We want them to be our toy, something that's going to give us back love because we give them love. But can you really afford to have a pet? Can you afford to give the time that a pet requires to be trained? Oh, if the pet stays inside of a fenced area, its training doesn't have to be so extensive. But even then, the training must be extensive. Because if somebody were to throw something over the fence, and that might be harmful to the pet, and then the pet would take it and chew on it and bite on it, and it would have something that was not beneficial to the pet in it, and it could kill the pet. And we would say, what happened? What happened? I've been very careful of my pet. I'm very careful of where my pet is. But do you surround your pet with your pure white light of love? Do you surround your pet with the idea that that pet is the most wonderful thing in the world? Can you do that? We saw a picture of a dog, two dogs. And one dog was blind, and the other dog took on this one dog as his special project. And the seeing dog became the seeing eyes for the blind dog. Now, it chose to give its life, its seeing eye life, to the blind dog so the blind dog could live in the world of sight. And the blind dog depended entirely on the seeing eye dog. The seeing eye dog made sure that the blind dog did not get into trouble, made sure that the blind dog had a chance to run and play, made sure that always caring about the blind dog. Now, that's not the act of a parent, that's the act of a caregiver. Now, that dog dedicated its life to this other dog. How many dogs do you know who would do a thing like that? How many animals do you know who take care of the lesser animals in their pack? When an animal in the pack is injured or is in any way going to be unable to take care of himself, the pack kill that animal. They put him to death so that he does not have to live a life of dependency on others. Animals are free-roaming beings normally, and they go around living their life totally independent. Oh, as little bears and little cubs and little creatures, they are dependent on their parents to teach them how to hunt and how to take care of themselves and how to play in a meaningful way, that they learn how to get along with their brothers and sisters, and how animals of other flock, animals of other parents who are not their own type of people, not their own type of animals, that's okay for meals. That's okay to take them down and use them and eat them. And this is the animal's culture. Now, you are going to take care of a pet. Can you afford to take care of the pet in the way the pet must be handled? Can you take care of the pet in the way in which it must be understood to be? Now, it doesn't matter whether you're raising kittens or puppies, whether you're raising farm animals or wild animals. Anytime you take that animal into your care, out of its normal experience, out of its normal life, you have a great responsibility to take care of that creature. You have a great responsibility. If you don't give water to your pets, they won't get water, unless there happens to be a lake nearby that they can go to, or a river. But this is not likely. Animals that are pets are entirely dependent on their master, on their owner, on the person who is supposed to take care of them. And they don't know that they shouldn't run and frolic and play. They don't know that the street is any different from the sidewalk or the grass and the lawns or the park. They don't know that. They have to be taught that. Instinctually, they are free agents. They run free and do all these things, and they have a wonderful time. But truly, can I afford to keep a pet? Can I afford to truly know what's good for the pet? Now, according to the dog feeding manual, for a dog so many pounds, you give him so much food. Now, that doesn't take into consideration whatsoever what is good for that breed of dog, what is the right thing for the height and the length and the the preparation. The dog's weight has nothing to do with its proper diet. Its proper diet has to do with the size of the dog. And if you give the dog more food than it needs to eat, then it'll ask for more food, because food is just the thing that dogs like to do. They like to eat. And if everybody feeds the dog table scraps, and then you feed the dog its dinner, and you do its treats, pretty soon the dog is going to be a monster. He's going to be as big as a house. And then he'll become heir to all of the diseases that dogs are possibly heir to when they get overweight, just like when people get overweight. They become heir to many diseases. And so how is it that we keep a dog in the proper eating habits? Well, we have to be a responsible caregiver of a dog. We have to be the responsible owner of a dog. How can we afford to keep a pet? Can we afford to know what is the right way to feed the dog, to feed the cat, to feed whatever animals we have? Do we know the right way to do these things? Have we read books on it? Have we studied it? Have we made ourselves a competent caregiver of our pet? Well, 9 times out of 10, or maybe even more than that, we have not done that. We just do what we feel comes natural to us. Oh, we'll read the labels on cans for dog food or bags for dog food or cat food or what have you and think that that surely must be good. But are we really aware what's in that cat food and what's in that dog food? Are we really aware what is allowed? You see, society does not really care about animals. They does not really care about pets and so forth. And they do not have stringent laws that keep producers of dog food and cat food from putting things in there that are just filler. And because they're not stringently bound by law, they sometimes just take it into their own hands to do what they can get away with. They, as the saying goes, they put sawdust in the dog food. And no one will admit that they put sawdust in there or that we say that, but when you read the ingredients of it, you have a pretty good idea. You have a pretty good idea whether this is beneficial or not beneficial. Do you care? Can you afford to be a pet owner? Can you afford to keep a pet? Are you diligent enough in your responsibility to know what goes into the food that is going into your pet? Is your pet a being, not a human being, but is it a living being, a creature that you love dearly? Well, then you would think that you would give him all of the attention necessary that you'd give your children, trying to give your children a good diet, or your husband or wife, that you would try to give a good diet to your family so that they will be healthy, so that they will be happy, so that they will be hearty in every way. But can I afford to keep a pet? Am I willing to do my part, my job, in this wonderful task? I'm not going to have pets who are going to be seeing-eye dogs for each other. Oh, we train pets to be seeing-eye dogs for people and things like that, but that comes under some pretty stringent training. And along with that training, its diet and all the mannerisms go into it too. Can you afford to keep a pet? Can you afford? Can I afford to give the time that is necessary to take care of something that I love very dearly, that I care about? Do I take my pet out for a walk? Do I take my pet around? Do I keep it on a leash when it's necessary? Do I keep my pet on a leash at all times where he might be injured, where he might get into trouble, where he might do something where I do not have total control of him? Can I afford to keep a pet? That's a question we have to ask ourselves. First and foremost, the pet that we want to keep is ourselves. We want to live our life in the most diligent way that we can. We want to give as good attention to ourselves as we should give to our pet. And so, if we start out by caring about what our diet is, if we care about the water we drink, if we care about the fluids we put into our body, if we care about the places that we go, if we care about cleaning up after ourselves as we clean up after the dog's mess, if we care about these things for ourselves, then, and only then, are we ready to be able to afford to keep a pet other than ourselves. Many people look in the mirror and they love themselves, and that's beautiful. And with that same love, do they love everyone else in the world? Because everyone else in the world is a reflection of us. And our pets, too, are a reflection of us. And if we would look at our pets, we would see in our pets all of our values, all of the things that make up who we are. So let's, before we run out and gather ourselves a lovely pet to make our life happy and more loving, think to yourself, can I afford to keep a pet? Am I willing to do all those things that Cesar Millan would ask of anyone who wants to keep a pet? Are you willing to be the master? Are you willing to be the head person in your pack? Are you willing to be the pack leader? If you are, then you are ready to have a pet. And when that day comes, you'll know it, because you'll find that you are so generous with your time and your talent and your interest for your pet that your pet lives a very well-regulated life. Think about these things. They're very important. We are not seeing eye dogs for others. We are not doing all of these other things that make the world go round, but what we are doing is being ourselves, in ourselves, in our neighbor, and in our pets. Think about these things, and then get yourself a pet if you wish. Know that I love you. I love you. I love you.